Well, this morning we are thankful for, again, having the ability to meet. And for those of you visiting for the very first time, we want to welcome you and praise God that you have come to join us this morning. And we pray that if you have any questions, we can answer those questions. But it's a blessing to have you joining us this morning, and especially for those who are watching online. Today, we are going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians. So please turn to chapter 2. And while you're turning there, if you need a Bible this morning, please raise your hand. We'll make sure that one of our ushers can give you a Bible so you can follow along with us. And if you need a Bible, please consider that a gift from us to you. We would desire everybody to have a copy of God's Word available at all times. So Ephesians chapter 2, that's in the Old Testament, right? Just checking. I don't know. You know? It's in the New Testament. While you're turning there, I do have something I want to thank the Lord for. Listen, last week we made an announcement for VBS, and I want to praise the Lord. Listen, remember the figures that Pastor Guy gave you? We needed 80, and we only had like 8. And I'm just proud to tell you, we gained 50% more, so we have another 8. We're still a little bit away from our number, but I just want you to know we could definitely use your help. It is an opportunity. Listen, it's not just for us as a church family, but we're praying and hoping that our community, as they begin to hear more about what's going on in our church and the desire that we have to be a blessing to our community, that we would be able to minister to the kids within this neighborhood, or maybe other families that are coming in for vacation or what have you. So it is an outreach. It is definitely something that we want to take advantage of. And as we mentioned already, please don't ever think, you know, oh, it's just VBS. Listen, when we were here, I snuck in on our sabbatical. I wasn't supposed to be here. And we snuck in, and I'll tell you, seeing those 80-plus kids up here wanting to receive Christ, that was what it was all about. So yeah, praise the Lord. So we want to do our part. So again, I'm going to encourage you to pray, because I know God still has a word for some of you here to help out there, okay? And then also, we have a desire today. We have a few shirts that we have going on sale in our bookstore. This is, again, something that we want to do. We want to replenish some of the stock that we have. And so if you have a desire to get one of our church t-shirts that say, Go, Grow, Glorify, they're on sale right now for $15. And basically, this is what I want you to know. Whatever you purchase in that bookstore does not come to the church. We use it to replenish our Bibles when we give them out for here or our outreaches. And so whenever we have an opportunity to get God's word into people's hands, we want to copy and follow along like the Gideon's ministry. Make sure everybody gets an opportunity to have a Bible. So all of the proceeds will go toward buying Bibles or missions. And so just so that you guys know that. And then what I'd like to do, being that Memorial Day is tomorrow, we have a video that we would like to present to us as a church. And so if you could please roll the video. Beloved, I want you to know that as you celebrate tomorrow, it's more than just a barbecue, okay? And please don't get me wrong. I'm not here to be a killjoy. I love a good barbecue. But let's just remember that the freedoms that we have may be free for us. But as we watch this video, be reminded that there were men and women who sacrificed, who were willing to serve our country and to give us the freedoms that we have. And so what I'd like to do is just request that we would all stand. I'm going to pray, and then we are going to get into our study, okay? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. And though it may be the day before Memorial Day, God, we do remember and we are thankful for the brave men and women who have served in our military and our armed forces. The ones who have rose up to the call and have fought for our country, and many of them who have passed. We want to lift up the family members, the spouses, the parents, the mother or father, Lord, brother or sister. We pray for the families who are grieving, who have lost a loved one. And I do ask, God, that today you would be their great comforter. Today that we would not just clap at a video, but again, tomorrow, as we've been given a day to celebrate, a day where we are not required to work, that we would take a moment and just say, thank you, Jesus, for these men and women. And we also want to thank you, Jesus, for the way that you laid down your life for us. I want to thank you today because we get an opportunity to see the truth, how we are saved. Today, we get an opportunity to see God's grace in action. And so please, may our hearts be open and ready to receive all that you have for us today. And I pray again, you would be our teacher. Fill this place with your spirit. Give us understanding and encourage us. Build us up. Lord, change us that we may be your witnesses today in this dark world. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning, I just want to give a really quick recap because I do want to cover all the way up to verse 10 of Revelation 21. No, I'm just kidding. But here in this new section of scripture, remember with me, last week we closed chapter 1 and we covered Paul's powerful prayer to the saints that were in Ephesus. And his desire for them was to grow deeper in their faith in the Lord Jesus and also in their love for one another, and especially for all of the saints. And we went through this prayer, and it was a powerful prayer because what Paul desired for them was to grow deeper in their knowledge of God, in his character, in his will, and in his power, okay? But he also prayed that they would know God in a more personal and intimate way. In other words, what they know, they would more know. They would more of what they know. I said that backwards. But anyways, I think you know what I was trying to say. I'm only operating on one cup of coffee. But to know more of Jesus. And so he did not want them to miss out. And I don't want any of us to miss out and this amazing relationship that we have with God. Some people may think that, you know, God is just this, you know, being up in heaven and we don't get a chance to draw close, or, you know, we don't get a chance to really talk to him or know him, that as if he's really far away. But it is the exact opposite for those who are in Christ. We have complete access to him. Doesn't matter, excuse me, what day it is, where we're at, what time of day it is. Listen, God is never too busy to hear your cry. Amen. Yes, I'm glad one person enjoyed that comment. I am thankful for the way that Paul laid out this prayer. And again, Lord willing, we were blessed by the prayer. And also that we would grow in our faith, that we would grow in our love for Jesus. We would grow in our love for one another. And remember, we're a room full of imperfect people. That's what God's family is made up of. So there will be some dysfunction at times. But remember, we're all still a work in progress. So we can extend God's love to each other and be kind to each other, respect each other. And so I pray that also we were just challenged to pray for each other. Show of hands, how many of you took up that challenge and began to pray for other people that you know? Praise the Lord. Thank you. For those of you who didn't, it's okay. God's grace, right? But I would encourage us, look through that prayer, and it is a great prayer that we should be praying for each other. As we get ready to look at this next section, Paul will remind these saints of how God saved them and to help them see how he extended his favor upon them. Now, I want to give you a definition of grace before we actually get started. And this is what many of us have heard, or many pastors have given this definition. Grace is God's unmerited favor towards the unworthy. In one of my study Bibles, it gave this definition. God is the inexhaustible goodness of God, which he freely bestows upon human beings, which is undeserved, unearned, and unable to repay. This is an amazing picture of what we talk about when we say God's grace, his amazing favor, goodness, kindness, love, mercy, all of these attributes of God. God's favor is upon you. And so not only is this an amazing definition, but when we talk about God's grace, this is the truth of the matter. Sinners turn into saints because of God's grace. And if you take God's grace out of the gospel, out of the good news of Jesus Christ, then you have no gospel. You can't separate them. And so I've come across people who say, you know, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. That can't be possible. Because God manifests himself through Jesus. So when you see Jesus, Jesus also said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so you can't separate them. And one of the things that I love about this next section is this. Paul is going to expound on God's grace. Paul is going to take these next few chapters and just continue to add color to each one of these words about God's character, about his grace, about his mercy, and all of these things to give us this clear picture that we are only saved because of him. Okay? And so as we look at this one verse, which is a key verse many of us have heard, it is verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so we're going to see this one verse, Paul is going to stretch out into two or three chapters. And you guys thought I was bad. But listen, just for today, in the 10 verses that we have, we're going to look at it in three sections. And this is what I pray we would see Paul's heart in reminding these saints and also us what our life was like without God's grace, verses 1 to 3. And then in verses 4 to 7, we're going to see how God poured out his grace. And then the result of grace, a transformed life, is in verse 8 to 10. This is going to be our outline for today. And so as we look at verse 1 and the first section I entitled, What Life Looked Like Without God's Grace, notice what it says in verses 1 to 3. And I'm just going to read it to you real quick. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. So here in this first section, I love the way Pastor Chuck Smith started off this scripture. And he said this, Paul starts off with our favorite topic, and you. Okay? For those of you who laugh, you guys know what I'm talking about. We immediately, the best topic that we could ever talk about is us. And let me give you an example. Why is it always about us? I don't know, but by nature, what happens when you look at a group photo that you're in? Right? Who's the first person that you look for? It is you. Did I come out right? Why did you post? I hear women talk. Why did you post that picture? But he says, and you, and he's speaking of these saints. And I want you to know that these believers in Christ, they were not always believers. Because before placing their faith in Jesus, what is Paul pointing out? And you, notice this, it was God who made you alive. It was God who was the initiator. It was God who was looking down from heaven. And it was God who began their relationship with them. He was the one who made it possible for them to have life. And he goes on to explain why. Paul said very clearly, because of their trespasses and sins, you were spiritually dead. And so when we look at this, we understand and know that as we walk in this world, there are people who are physically alive, but they are spiritually dead. They are unable to communicate and respond to God because they're separated from God. And I want you to also notice this. The words that he gives for there to be a separation between them and God, he uses the word trespasses and sins. Now, these are two different words, but they have the same results. Okay? They both lead to death, which means they both separate you from God. This is what was going on in your life and my life before coming to Christ. Now, I want to give a couple of definitions for these words. The word sin means to miss the mark. This is an actual archery term. Whenever a person picked up his bow and arrow and aimed for the target and he missed, back in this time, they were considered sinners because they missed the mark. And so when we look at this, when we look at what the Bible is saying, many times sin is referring to our failure to hit the target of God's holy standard. God desires perfection. Let me just give you an example. Do you remember back in Exodus when God gave the Ten Commandments? How many of you have kept all ten? I'm glad nobody raised their hand. I mean, even if you were able to fulfill nine of them up to this day, even though you missed the one, you've missed them all. And so God demands perfection. And we've missed that mark. And some of us might be in this room going, well, that's not fair. You know, why are we sinners? Well, let me give you an explanation why. It's found in Genesis chapter 3. All you need to do is go to the very beginning of your Bible, and we read about Adam and Eve disobeying God's commands, and it was then that sin entered the world. Listen, when that serpent showed up, here's what we need to understand and know, that Adam and Eve were together. They weren't separated. And as the serpent began to speak, who did he speak to? Okay, this room knows. If you guys don't know, it's Eve. It was Adam's wife. And yet, Adam was present. And this is what you need to know. If there is any time that Adam should have showed some macho-ness, it was right here. Because he should have been the one to protect, to be that covering for his bride and tell the serpent, listen, if you have anything to say to this family, I'm the man that you need to talk to. And yet he didn't. And yet the serpent was able to deceive Eve, twist God's words, question it. Oh, you surely won't die. And if you eat of this fruit one day, you're going to be just like God. He's keeping all of these things from you. And so what happened? She ate. And then as she ate, she gave it to her husband. And what did her husband do? Okay. He just followed along. And from that moment on, sin entered the world along with death. And because of that, Everyone who has been born after them has been born with this sinful and rebellious nature toward God. It's not because I say so. Listen, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, speaking of Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. So because of this, we started off on a bad note. Even David said, I was born in my mother's womb in iniquity. We've all been given this rebellious nature toward God. So this is the word sin that I want us to see. From the very beginning, we started off on a bad note. This is bad news. And yet, when we look at the word trespasses, this is a word that is far worse than sins. This word speaks of us willfully disobeying. It's knowing what God's word says and directly disobeying God's command. It's like some of our kids. I'm picking on the kids today. Yeah. Mom and dad are there and dad might say, hey, put the Game Boy down or the Switch or whatever it is, the ticky-talkie that you're playing with, whatever that thing is. Put it down and go take out the trash. And what happens to those words? It goes in one ear and right out the other, and they just stay there. Mom might say to their kids, hey, go upstairs and clean up your room. That's all I ask, clean your room. And it goes in one ear and right out the other. Selective hearing. I hear what you're saying, but I don't feel up to doing what you're asking. Of course, if you say, hey, let's go grab a bite to eat, man, that thing is thrown on the couch. They're up and ready to roll in 2 seconds, and they're already in the car before you can get your keys. Trespasses is direct disobedience to God's commands. In other words, you just flat out refuse to obey what he's asking of you. And of course, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, we've all sinned. We've all been disqualified from being in God's presence. We are now separated from him in the same way that Adam and Eve, the moment they sinned, things changed. Death entered the world. Sin entered the world. They were cut off from that intimacy of walking with the Lord in the garden. They were removed from the garden, and it said that man had to till the ground. That he had to work. And then it also says that the woman would have a difficult time with childbearing. So ladies, don't get mad at your husbands. You get mad at Eve. And so this is who they were. Before coming to Christ, they were spiritually dead because of sins and trespasses. And then Paul goes on to describe a little bit more how they actually sinned. Notice verse 2 and 3, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience, and among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. So what does Paul point out? He points out 3 things that these saints did before coming to Christ. They walked according, or they followed. They were being led. Notice this verse 2, that they were being led astray by the things of this world. Many times when we look at the Bible, the word world or worldly speaks of a world system that is anti-God. A world that opposes and hates what God's commands are. Today we are seeing our world, listen carefully, please hear me out. This is not a political statement. I just want you to hear what Paul is saying here. Today we are seeing our world create laws that are completely against God's word. Today we are seeing the world want nothing to do with God. And even though they celebrate these new laws, though the world may be screaming out to you saying, you don't need to believe the Bible. That book's too old. It's not relevant for today. If anybody ever tells you that, you know they've never picked up a Bible. But what we're seeing happening today is basically Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It's coming to life because this portion of scripture tells us that the world is calling what is evil good and good evil. Do you realize that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the very Bibles that we hold in our hand, there may be a day that is coming soon where, listen carefully, the world will consider the gospel of Jesus Christ as hate, a message, or, you know, we're being terrorists because we're saying that there is only one way to God. And there may be a time when our government may say, that's it, you can't preach God's word ever again or else you'll be arrested. And if that's the case, guess what's happening? Pastor Jerry is starting a prison ministry. It's just flat out truth. Okay? I hope and pray that if that time comes, our pastors will be divided up into different prisons and we'll have a revival in a prison. He says also, you were led by the prince of the power of the air. For those of you who may not know this, this is just another name for Satan. The Bible is very clear that he has come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his character. He's the father of lies. He's the great deceiver. And all he is doing is prowling around looking for whom he may devour. And he always goes after the one that is the wanderer. And what I want us to see is this. God has given him a temporary time to rule over this world, but it's temporary. It's not forever. And because of this, he is a master at turning people away from God. He is a master at twisting what God created for good and perverting it, making it more appeasing to your fleshly desires. And we'll talk a little bit more in this next section, but I just want you to see this. He is a master at, again, questioning God's word, feeding our flesh, and he is a master at deception. And if you look very closely, some of us may look at this world and go, man, our world is falling apart, and it's all because of man. Yes, man has a responsibility. But what we see happening in our world today, guess who's behind all of it? Satan himself, who is ruling as a prince, one governing this world right now. And so not only do we see them being led away, following after, being led astray by the things of this world and of Satan himself, but notice also in this verse that we read, verse 3, they were being led away by their own flesh. In other words, they were following after the desires of their heart. And it is amazing that the Bible says very clearly, what you take in is what will come out. What we give our attention to and what we meditate upon, those thoughts, those things will then remain in our hearts and in our minds. And as we meditate on them, as we think about them before or compared to thinking of the things of God, that's what we will give birth to. Tells us that very clearly in the book of James. But I also want us to see this. If anybody ever tells you, listen, if anybody ever tells you to follow your heart, that's Disney theology. Okay, that's not biblical theology. And if anybody ever tells you this, I sometimes understand what they're saying, but it also leads me to know that these people who say this have never read their Bible, because the Bible is very clear what it says about our own hearts. Do you realize that in Jeremiah chapter 17, it says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus also told his disciples what's going on in our hearts. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 23 says this, For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile a man. See, that's what's going on in our hearts. That's why it's not a biblical statement to follow your heart. These things are naturally within us. These are the fleshly desires that come out. And I think all of us can agree that none of us really were taught how to sin. Right? I mean, it started when we were infants. What are some of the first words that kids learn?
No.
No. What's another favorite one? Mine. By nature, we are selfish, self-centered. It's all about me. And so that's why Paul is basically stressing, this is who you once were. You need to see the picture of where your life was at before God's grace. And beloved, I don't want us to miss this. The world, Satan, and our flesh will always lead us in the wrong way. They will always lead us in the wrong direction. Before Christ, we were all spiritually dead, led by the things of this world, led by Satan himself, and also the desires of our flesh. And notice what Paul reveals. By nature, you were children of wrath. What does this mean? It really means that because of our behavior, because of our lifestyle, because of the things that we were taking in, again, we were being deceived and pulled away from God. All of these things that we were a part of, the consequence was deserving of God's wrath, God's punishment. And some of you might be sitting here going, well, wait a minute, Pastor Jerry. I've heard you say over and over again that God is a God of love, and that is absolutely true. But he is also a just God. Okay? Don't misunderstand this. Yes, he is a loving God. He is able and willing to forgive everybody of their sins as long as they come and confess them. But he is also a just God who will deal rightfully with sin. I am so thankful that God is not only a just God, but he is also a long-suffering God. Amen. For those of you who may not know that what that word means is he's a very patient God. Do you realize, beloved, how blessed we are that God would give us chance after chance after chance and then after chance? And you can keep going on to the rest of the service and chance. See, now that we know what the past was like, I pray this would also spark something in our heart. Because I believe as Paul was reminding these saints, God is also reminding us today, instead of being upset or disgusted at the way our world is going, instead of, you know, turning our eyes away and you know, showing a constipated look on our face because we're disgusted by the way non-believers are acting. Oh, I can't believe this. Can I just remind us that we were once there? Can I remind us that we too follow the things of this world? We too were in bondage to sin. We too were led away by our selfish, you know, desires. And I pray instead of venting and complaining that it would lead us more to praying. When was the last time that you prayed for the lost? When was the last time that you saw something that was completely just wrong and start praying? You know, I'm just going to say this really quick. I don't follow this, and I don't know all the details of what's happening with this artist, P. Diddy. Okay? I'm not following that stuff, but I just hear people talking about it and just going off. And some of them are believers. And instead of talking about them, why don't you stop and start praying for them? I don't want to hear the trash. Let's act like believers and remember what God's called us to do, to pray for our world. So if there's anything that is causing you to go, oh, you know, all of this, don't do that. Pray for each other. Pray for them. Last, what month are we in? Okay, this month. Do you remember Mother's Day? In lieu of giving you ladies flowers or devotional, you know, we mix it up every now and then. So come back next year. We'll probably have a devotional for you. But this last year, we made a donation to a ministry called Plur Life Ministries. For those of you who aren't aware of what this ministry is, it's a couple who had a burden to go to what we call today raves. It's a modern day Woodstock, in my opinion. Okay, if you are older than me, you understand what Woodstock is. Just magnify it a few more degrees. And I remember hearing of this ministry and partnering with them, and Marisa and I went to a rave. And so please understand, hear me correctly, we didn't go party at a rave, we went to minister at a rave. We went with this group of people who are doing this as a ministry. And they've been criticized. How can you think you're going to, you know, win God's love, or how are you going to share the gospel with them? Well, they pass out bracelets that have a website that takes them to hear the gospel message. They are going there and extending love and not condemnation, even though they're not acting right. They're going there and helping young ladies who, listen, there have been many young ladies who have been kidnapped from these events. They see a single woman walking around in a parking lot dark, and these mothers will come around their side and say, "How can we help you? Who are you looking for? Do you know where your car is? I don't know what's going on. I don't know where my friends are. My battery died on my phone. Here, come to our RV. We'll get you some power. You can connect with your friends. We'll make sure that you stay safe." There are some who have said, "I didn't sign up for this. This is crazy. My friends lied to me." And they're all like, "You can hang out here at the RV. Nobody will bother you. There's food in the refrigerator. If you want a hot dog, we got a guy cooking up hot dogs on the grill. We got coffee, whatever you need." They are there to love on people who are in need of help. No condemnation. And so we gave to that ministry. Yeah. It is important to know that it's more than just going to the raves, because the moment they connect with people and the moment that these young adults open up their hearts, they invite them to other discipleship opportunities. So all of this, again, the biggest thing that I learned from this ministry, you can never, ever demand or think that the world will act properly when they do not know God. So instead of, again, being disgusted or upset, take it to prayer. Can we commit to that? Yeah. Okay, good. I'm thankful. Back rows, what's happening? Let's go on. Next section. How was God's grace, or how God poured out his grace in verses 4-7? Let's take a look at what it says. "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." Notice this, the first time we hear this, "by grace you have been saved." Verse 6, "and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." How God poured out his grace is seen here in this phrase, "but God." This phrase, "but God," is a demonstration of God's grace. You see, even though before Christ we were spiritually dead, we can put this phrase, "but God." When we were led astray by the things of this world, by Satan or our flesh, we can put this phrase, "but God." How about this? Even when we did those things that were deserving of God's wrath, we can put in the phrase, "but God." When we were those children by nature, you know, children of wrath, "but God." And what I love about this is, again, here is God's grace, his favor being poured out on us, not condemning, but blessing us with something that we don't deserve. And what is that? His mercy and his grace. Notice, it says it very clearly. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy. The word mercy here speaks of us not getting what we truly deserve. I want you to picture it this way. Let's just say I'm driving my car. I have, to me, what I think is okay car. Okay? It's a Honda Sonata. Hyundai Sonata. I'm fine with that. That's how I roll. Okay? And let's just say one day I may not be paying attention correctly. And my wife reminds me that I don't do this often. I mean, I do this often. But let's just say one day I'm driving and I pull up to a signal light and in front of me is a Rolls Royce. And all of a sudden, I just ram right on the back of it. Okay? Then the guy in the Rolls Royce comes out and he walks over to my car and he looks at me, looks at my car, looks at his car. And then he says, don't worry about it. What did he just demonstrate? Mercy. Mercy, not getting what I deserve. So then he goes back to his car, and then all of a sudden he opens up his glove box, pull out his checkbook, and he goes back to me, and then he writes me a check for 30 grand saying, go buy yourself a new car. What is that?
Grace.
Unmerited favor toward those who don't deserve it. Because God is rich in mercy means he is not lacking. He's not limited. Listen, he has so much mercy that he's willing to pour out on you. This is a beautiful picture, but don't take it for granted. So not only is God not limited, but the Bible also tells us that there are new grace, new mercies every single morning. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Here is a truth that I pray you would anchor down on. When we believe and serve God, listen, this is what I want you to walk away. He is, again, a God who is not only good, his kindness, he is willing to give you chance after chance, but we also need to remember that it's not just throwing up the peace sign and saying, sorry, God. No, true repentance brings change. True repentance will give God the ability to work in and through your life. If you come to God and you're not sincere, don't expect him to answer your prayer. So God is rich in mercy. What else? His grace demonstrates his great love for us. God's love is so great. Again, there are no limits. He extends love and not condemnation. God's love is sacrificial. It's an agape love. It's unconditional. And I know you've heard me say this over and over again, that God does love you. And here's the thing. God wants you out of love. He wants you to come to him as you are. Because God is the one who cleans you up, not you. Don't ever say, oh, well, I need to clean myself up first. No, just come to God as you are. He is the one that cleans us up. And he loves you and he loves me too much to leave us the way that we were. God desires change. And so because of his great love, which he loved us, listen, he didn't leave us in sin. And now I want you to see this, because it is out of God's mercy and his love, he is the only one who can set us free once again from the world, from Satan, and from our own flesh. This is a picture, again, of adding to God's grace all of these things that he's willing to do in our life, even when we don't deserve it. What has God's grace done for us? There's three different things that we see in this passage. Verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, it was God who made us alive together with Christ. Notice that. God made us alive. You didn't do a darn thing. I didn't do a darn thing. He says very clearly again, by grace you have been saved. God alone is the only one who turns sinners into saints. And God does this for all those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. So no longer are you spiritually dead. Because of God's grace, you are now spiritually alive together with Christ. We are one with Christ. We are in harmony. We are in union with Christ. I love thinking about this, because basically in my mind, I'm like, how does this work in a practical way so that people will truly understand. I want you to, you know, remember, you know, sports. Whatever your favorite team is.
Cowboys.
There you go. I didn't even have to say it. God's true team. Anyways. Don't walk out. I was just kidding. Okay? But listen. In the world, you were on team world side. But when Jesus came into your life, you've now switched teams, and now you're on team Jesus.
Amen.
See? This is the beautiful switch that I want you guys to please not miss, because, again, you were dead. No way of communicating, no way of responding. You were completely separated, but because of God's grace, we are now alive, able to commune, able to talk, able to fellowship, able to walk with God now. Come on, that's sweet. We get to walk with God. And God did all of this, again, out of great love for us. So not only did God, you know, change us from being spiritually dead to now being spiritually alive, out of God's great love, we have been raised up with Christ. What does this mean? When we look at the Bible, it tells us immediately that Jesus was raised from the grave. It was God who raised him up. And of course, he was seen for about 40 days after his resurrection here on earth. And during that time, he then gave his disciples his last command to go out into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all the things that I have told you. And lo, I am with you always. Right after he said those words, the Bible tells us that he ascended into heaven. Where did he go? He is now sitting at the right hand of God. It was God who raised him up. It was God who exalted him and gave him this position of having all authority in heaven and on earth. And even in the book of Acts, it says very clearly that there is no other name given among men that one can be what?
Saved.
Let me hear that again.
Saved.
Only one. And again, God's grace being demonstrated, his love being poured out and filtered through the life of Jesus, and Jesus doing what he did for us. So because of what God did for Jesus, what is this saying? That he raised us up with Christ and that we would be seated with him in this heavenly place? It goes back to remembering what Paul started this letter off in the beginning. You and I have every spiritual blessing available. You and I, listen, God is not holding out on us. I've shared this with you before. I think it's appropriate to say again. You know, my dad, man, he can barbecue. And every time, you know, I go and visit with him, I'll ask him, hey, how do you cook this? And he'll give me only a little bit of the recipe. He lives a little of that something, something out. And so I caught on to this. And so every time I go back now, I ask him again, hey, so how do you make this? And then I always get a few more extra things. So I'm pretty sure within the next two visits, I'll have it mastered down. My dad's holding out on me. I am so thankful that God does not hold out on us. I'm so thankful that he gives us complete access to all we could ever desire, all that we want in those spiritual things. You want to know God more? Available. You want to have a deeper prayer life with God? It's available. You have access to him. You want to be filled with the Spirit and serve God? It's available. See, there's nothing that you are being, you know, there's nothing being kept from you. And this is what Paul is saying. You have everything. You've been raised with Christ. So the blessings that he received, you will also receive. And the blessings I'm talking about is this, again, amazing and personal intimacy with God. We get to have all of these spiritual blessings available to us. The next thing, the third thing that we see what grace has done for us, out of love, in God's perfect timing, listen, in future generations to come, our lives will reflect God's grace. Our lives will reflect God's grace. Our life as a believer, again, our goal is to mimic, is to copy, is to surrender our life for the sake of God's will. That's what we've been called to do. Romans chapter 8, it says again that God predestined that we would be conformed into the image of Christ, that we would grow more and more into the amazing attributes of who God is. In the same way Jesus did, this is the way that we want to live our life. That you and I would literally be a walking Bible for people to read. So we have all of this amazing ability because of God's grace. And again, we have all spiritual blessings available. We will also one day be raised with Christ. We will leave this earth and enter into God's presence and get an opportunity to enjoy heaven because Jesus and God will be there. That's some good news. And so I want us to see this. Now we're going to look at this last section, the results of God's grace. Notice verse 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so as we look at this next section, I want us to see this. Because of God's grace, because of his favor, because of his goodness and kindness, because God is rich in mercy, because he has an amazing love for you and me, this is why, because of God's grace, we are saved, period. There's nothing else that you could ever do to gain this blessing. God did it all. That is the difference between Christianity and religion. Religion is man's attempt to win God's favor. Christianity is all about what God has done for us. Remember, he is the initiator. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 that nobody is actually looking for God. Those who are spiritually dead, who are non-believers, they are not waking up going, I wonder how I can please God today. They're not even thinking of God. And again, remember, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what did they do? They tried to hide. And it was God who was the initiator. Adam, where are you? Because of his amazing grace and love and mercy, we have been called out of darkness and brought into his marvelous light. It was God who transformed us from being children of wrath. Remember, verse 3. By nature, you were children of wrath before Christ. And because of God's grace, now what are we? His sons and his daughters. You're on Team Jesus. That's good news. Come on now. And when we look at what Paul again is expounding on this, there is nothing in the sentence that I just read to you. For it is by grace that you are saved. Okay? There's nothing in verse 8, verse 9, or verse 10 that describes you. It's all what God has done for you and me. It is something that I pray you would understand. It is by grace that we have received this gift of salvation. Salvation is a gift. And Paul said it very clearly. It's not works. And I want you to understand this. There's nothing wrong with doing good works. When does it become wrong? When you think because you did a good work that God owes you something. That's a works-based faith. I do this, God, you owe me this. That's not salvation. Salvation is a gift. What do you do to deserve a gift? Nothing. It is the giver who sacrifices. It is the giver who's willing to give. And it is the giver who is not expecting anything in return. So how do we receive this grace? How do we receive God's grace this morning? Well, Paul went on to say this. It is through faith. Your trust, putting your belief in what Jesus did on the cross, his finished work on the cross. It's believing that Jesus completed the work of redemption that you and I will be saved. No other way. Jesus himself said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Him. Because of what he did. So none of us can ever take credit for our salvation. Again, I have to stress this because there's nothing that you and I ever did to gain our way into heaven. It's God's favor, very clearly demonstrated. Nothing, the only thing that we did, listen carefully, here it is. Here is the truth. The only thing that we did was put Jesus on the cross. It was our sins that nailed him to the cross. So please understand this. No amount of good works will ever earn you the gift of salvation. What else does God's grace, the results of God's grace in our life? Our salvation is not works, but again, it becomes a gift. I love this picture of a gift. I love the fact that whenever we have an opportunity to bless somebody with a gift, it is such an encouragement to see people's face light up with unexpected, you know, I didn't know you would do this, or I don't deserve this. It's just giving a gift. And I want you to know this, because in this church, there are a lot of amazing people who give gifts. But I also want to challenge you with this. There may be a time when you're not the giver. There may be a time in your life where you need to be the receiver. And that's hard. I've heard people say, I'm the one that's supposed to give. Why? Are you Jesus? That's pride. We are the body of Christ, and we are called to help each other. We're called to help carry each other's burdens, lift up one another, be there for each other, and help in those times of need with whatever we can do. So don't ever feel because you are the giver that you can't receive. No, when that time comes, consider it a gift from who? God. Because it was God who placed you upon the hearts of other people. And they were walking in obedience to what God was telling them to do. So don't ruin their blessing. The other thing that God does for us is found in verse 10. The results of receiving God's grace is that we are his workmanship. It says, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The word workmanship is poema, and it speaks of either a poem or a masterpiece, a painter painting a painting without any mistakes. A masterpiece sometimes is a lifelong goal of every artist. And so what I want to do is I want to paint us this picture of what Paul is stressing here in verse 10. And I want us to picture it in this way, that God is the artist. And when God is the artist, what he wants to do with his artwork is to put himself in it, to put those attributes of who he is on the canvas. You're the canvas. So what is God desiring to do in painting in your life? He wants to paint grace. That you and I would learn what this unmerited favor is, and when we discover it, that we pour it out on others. How about goodness? That we would consider other people above ourselves. How about this? Joy. Don't let this world kill your joy. How about this? Compassion. Don't turn your head when there's people in need. You may not, listen, I'm not saying that every single person that you see, you have to give money. That's not what I'm saying. Do you realize that the apostles didn't give money? Some of them just said, silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. They prayed for people. Does it cost you anything to pray? God's painting those colors in your life and in my life. For what purpose? So that we could hang up on the wall? You know, we'd be silly if we just walked around the world going, wouldn't we? No, he wants moving pieces of artwork. And as God paints his story in your life, as God paints his attributes in you and me, what takes place? Then we are fulfilling his will, because he thought of this beforehand. He thought of this. This was his will. Again, before he created anything, he already knew what he wanted you and you and you and everybody else in this room. He knew what he wanted you to do. And I pray that we would see, not only is God painting this upon our hearts and upon our lives, but again, God's desire is to transform your life from the inside out. And this is what he wants to produce in you: love. He wants to produce in you joy, peace, kindness, goodness, and self-control. What are these? The fruit of the Spirit, which all point back to who? God's character. This is why it's so important that we understand what grace is. We need to remember what our life was without grace. We need to remember how God's grace was poured out upon us and changing us because of his great love and his mercy that he extended toward us when we didn't deserve it. And then to know this, that he wants to now work in and through you. For what purpose? To bring him glory. He thought of all of this before you were even born. This is how amazing our God is. And I hope and pray that today you would know you have been saved because of God's grace and nothing else. I hope and pray that this would bring relief to some of you who ever thought, I need to do this in order for God to like me, in order for God to love me more. Put that thought away. Bad theology. That is not the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is all a work of God's grace. And those who receive it are those who believe in the finished work of what Jesus did on the cross. No exceptions, no credit going anywhere else. God did it alone. God is the one who turns sinners into saints. That is awesome news. Let's all stand. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time. And I want to thank you for your word this morning. And as we get ready to close our service, I pray, God, that we would hold on to this beautiful thought. Your grace, your mercy, and your kindness, and your great love has been given freely to us. And there are, again, no limits. You have an extra amount of love and mercy that you desire to pour out upon us. And so I pray that our hearts today, as believers in Christ, would know, God, that we would know we are only saved because of you. Thank you for opening up our hearts and our eyes to receiving your grace today, the gift of everlasting life, the gift of salvation. Is a beautiful demonstration, again, of grace. So I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would anoint them, that you would fill them with your Spirit, and that, God, you would be the one building them up, painting in their life the fruit of the Spirit, that you would help them put to rest their old nature, that you would help them put to rest the things of this world, that they would not be captivated or distracted of the treasures of this world. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them strength to stand up against the enemy, to remember and know that he is the father of lies, he is the deceiver, and he has only come to kill, steal, and destroy. When we put everything in its right perspective, we see the beauty of God's gift. So thank you, Jesus, for being patient with us, for giving us chance after chance and loving us the way that you do. So bless my brothers and sisters this day. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.